This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Hello and welcome to Cooking Your Way Through Life.
Today's episode is Cooking Your Way Through Changes. And today's recipe is going to be a soup base for all four seasons throughout the year.
Cooking Your Way Through Life is a podcast combining knowledge of the kitchen and applying it to real-life situations. This podcast is all about understanding techniques to make things you already know even better. Topics from traveling on a budget, setting and achieving short and long-term goals, and of course, cooking.
On today's episode, we dive deep into changes. Is this something that you normally embrace? We're also going to update you on some of the changes that we have in our lives right now, me and my co-host Spencer, and we're going to talk about soup and how it changes throughout the year, but you can use one soup base to kind of get you those amazing flavors no matter what your feeling is. So get ready.
Please welcome Chef Hollywood.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Cooking Your Way Through Life with me, Chef Hollywood. And today we are talking about change, and we're going to be talking about soup bases that can change throughout the year. But before we get into that, we also have a co-host today, and it is Spencer, which you've met in the past. But I will let him introduce himself because a lot of things have changed since the last time you met him. So, Spencer, tell the people about yourself, what you've been up to, reintroduce yourself a little bit here.
Hi, everyone. My name is Spencer. Oh, gosh. From Long Island, New York, or I guess wherever my home base ends up being. Last time I was on the show, I was a chef over at Uncruise Adventures. And since then, I have changed my career and moved into a licensed deckhand bosun role, gone to the deck department. So still exploring the world, going from Alaska to Mexico and anywhere else that seems kind of interesting. But yeah, it's going to be real fun talking about the changes that have happened in the last couple of years and seeing where that goes. So,
all right. Sounds good. As of today, we're getting into soup, as I mentioned earlier, but it also kind of lends itself to the theme of change because I feel like as the seasons change, if you are lucky enough to live somewhere where your seasons change, I used to live in Key West for like 3 years and it's the same season and same temperature all year round. But for those of you that have actual seasons, it's really cool to have one soup base that you can kind of take and adjust throughout the year. So you already know where your flavor is going to be, all the different things, and then you can adjust it. But today's topics are, as always, we start very deep, like in the deep end of the pool, and then get more into the shallow end of the pool. So we're going to jump right into the deep end today, asking about, do you consider yourself someone who embraces change or resists it, Mr. Spencer?
Depends who you ask. If you're asking me, I've always said that I embrace change. It's actually something that I either thrive in, search for, and invite a lot. I think everybody has moments where they resist it because change is hard. Change is a cliche. It's always constant. But I embrace it. I really think change keeps life alive and exciting.
I will say that I think that you embrace change from a friend standpoint. I'm kind of the opposite. I resist change until I embrace it. And when I embrace it, I wholeheartedly embrace it, but I'm one of those people that internalize it a lot. And when you see me change and you're just like, man, he really goes with the flow. And that's a long process to get there. It's probably been resisted for about a month or so at the minimum before that happens.
So. I would agree. As you were saying that, I was thinking the same thing, that most of the resistance to change, people don't see. It's what's going on internally. It's where my mind's at. It's what either I want or I don't want or what I'm uncomfortable with. And I think people, when they say that I embrace it, which I still feel I do, overall comes from that end result and what's kind of on the outside. But no one really sees the process except for someone maybe like you, where I'm like, Drake, I need to talk. Let's just word vomit of here's what's going on through my head. Here's what's happening. This was unexpected. But I think overall, and of course, when we come into social media, things like that, when people just hear about the amazing times or see just the new that is always happening, I think on the outside, instantly, it's like, oh, you're great with change. It's happening all the time. But the day-to-day stuff, I don't think a lot of people realize what's kind of what brings you to that point where you are happy about the change or where you've embraced it.
Yeah. And I would say too, because like side note for all my astrology nerds out there, me and Spencer both are Tauruses. And I feel like it gets a bad reputation for being stubborn or bullheaded. But what I will say is I think one constant thread with a lot of people like that or Tauruses in general is that we are not stubborn when it comes to change. It's just that we kind of lock in. Like Spencer was just saying, like I will, it takes me a moment. I like when I do make a change, like I think about it, but I'm not avoiding change. It's just that, you know, I lock in if I'm going to change, I'm going to lock in and do it. So,
yeah. And while we're talking about this, it's made me think of, actually, I was at a management leadership seminar. I think maybe I'm trying to think of it. It was definitely before COVID, but I'm trying to, like, everything mushes together. I think they brought a bunch of people in for a seminar that actually had to do with change, and it was changing that was happening with the company, and it brought up sort of the pieces of change that the mind and the body goes through as it's happening. And there's a lot of grief involved in the, like, getting kind of testing the water, like you said, and getting used to it and noticing that it's different. And the time to where that embrace period comes, there's a lot of other emotions, and that could be anger or sadness or fear or guilt from those changes, that before the full embracing of the change comes, that you sort of have to deal with, that I don't think a lot of us even realize we're dealing with at the same time. And that whole progression, I wish I had the flow chart, because it really, it was like 6 or 7 different actual things that our mind goes through when it comes to change, before we're fully 100% like, okay. And then even when we're okay with it, we then have a whole beta test period of, are we okay with this change? And what does that mean moving forward? And actually then committing to what that means for us as a whole or as a company.
That sounds about everything that's going under my head, along with the other 1,000 things. But I do love a flow chart. Like, I definitely think having that in perspective definitely probably would help understand the process. But it is like it's not like a light switch. You turn it on, like you change today what you're doing tomorrow. So it's like, it is a process. I don't think a lot of us give ourselves the grace.
For you and I, we're our whole lives in our careers, and I think life in general, we're always in change. But I think in the ship world, it's so constant that it's so prevalent and right there in front of our face that we're always registering change. But even sometimes, like, the minute micro changes that we don't even realize until later down the road, we were like, you know what? There was a lot of change in that period, and recognizing that and getting comfortable with that recognition. So for you and I, even though we are also constantly in change, doesn't mean we ever really get used to it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the constant is that it's always change. So, and since we are
people that are... It sounds cliche, but it is really true.
It is really true. It is really true. Yeah, because we're constantly changing. Everything's constantly moving, so... Now, if you ever stayed in a situation too long because you were afraid of change, though, like, does anything pop to your mind automatically. I feel like from your face it does. So.
Of course. I think that's part of change to begin with what we were just talking about, with all the process of change. I think there's a bit of denial when change first comes up, and when you start noticing that things are different. But from the beginning of this podcast, we talked about how I changed my whole career since we last chatted. And of course, that's the first thing that came to mind when I saw that this was a chance that we'd be talking about this, because I know that I stayed in my situation as a chef much longer than I probably should have or needed to, because for all the reasons. I mean, there's the fear of failure. There's the fear of, I spent a lot of time, energy, money to become a chef and stay in that career. I was trying to figure out better ways that would sort of feed my ambition and my soul when it came to food. I could tell you, a lot of times I probably would say COVID or that 2020 period was around the time the change was happening. But as I've actually looked back at it, it happened well before that. And I just was lucky enough to be in situations that can continue to feed my ambitions in different ways. But when we talk about resistance to change and acknowledging that I may not be in the game as much as I thought I was for a while, it's definitely probably one of the situations that come to mind the most of I stayed too long in it. And we may get into it more, but when the change came, I can remember talking to you on the phone a little bit down the road, and you just went, "Spencer, you never talked to me about it. We talked a lot about how I was feeling, but I actually never spoke with anybody else that I was feeling like I was losing passion for the culinary world in the way that I used to have it. That doesn't mean that I still love food. I love eating. I love flavors. Bartending's become a real big part of, you're sort of like the chef of cocktails, but there's still that piece of my mind that always remembers when you just said, you never even mentioned it to me that this is how you were feeling. Or when I decided to move into different roles and give it a try when I probably knew I shouldn't have. We never talked about it because I think I already had my mind made up that I needed something to actually sort of stonewall me to make the decision to change. Because I stayed in that situation too long, I needed something. And I almost purposefully didn't talk to you about it because I didn't want anybody to change my mind for me to finally give a reason to myself to make the change. And as much as I would love to still talk to you, you know, I there's hardly anything I don't talk to you about. So keep that in, it goes to show how resistant I was, because I can remember back when I even moved to Ireland and started studying more holistic nutrition, which is what got me into food. Mm-hmm. And I chose a pretty cool program, but it was on raw vegan cooking, and it was so much more far out there on the outliers of vegan cooking than I realized. But I loved being in Dublin. I loved what I was learning. I was still doing it, and I thought what I was learning was really cool. But when it came to actually making the dishes, that took so long because we were fermenting things, and it was, of course, nut-based stuff that you have to soak and sprout and do all this. I got to a point where I went, I don't want to do this, but I already paid the money for it. Because also it was a passion. I mean, I love it. It's so cool that I could say I made cheese out of Brazil nuts, or cheese in quotation marks. But I would literally look at this stuff. I go, the amount of money you're spending, the amount of time you're spending to get like such a low result. My teacher loved it. I thought it was still some pretty cool stuff, but it was such a niche for me, for that we were learning, that in my life and the how productive it would have been in my own real life situation, I knew I wouldn't be able to use it as well. So I loved what I was learning, but I also could tell that my interest was already starting to change by then. And that, I think, was the hardest thing to admit. And that's where I really became sort of resistant to it. And this is over the course of years, and then us working together and still trying to find that passion again. So the resistance happens. And I think depending on the change and the background and how attached you might be to yourself and your life and all the pieces around it and the people, like it is really hard to sometimes not even commit to the change, but to be honest with yourself and say, hey, I feel different. And this needs to be addressed.
I think that is a conversation that we try to have with ourselves sometimes. And you did. Like, I remember when that happened. You didn't talk to me about it. And I was just like, I didn't even bring it up to you till later because I was like, well, he didn't say anything to me. I was like, maybe he said something to somebody else. Or, you know, but I totally understand it because sometimes we do just need that. Like you said, you didn't want to have the conversation of me maybe talking you out of it or saying something that you didn't want to admit to yourself at the time. And I think that's one of the things that's going on in your mind when you're afraid to change or you know that there's a change coming. I know for me, mine always goes into a place of my personal laziness. Not that it is being lazy, but when I can just start phoning it in, I know that I'm done with it. And I get so complacent and just so like, okay. And I know that that means that I'm like, I'm not really feeling this anymore. I need to move on. And that's honestly with personal and professional, if I think about it. like if I'm just like kind of phoning it in, like I know I need to move on. I know I need to stop talking to this person. I know I need to stop working at this job. But I know me well enough to know that I usually will stay a little longer than I want to because... Yep. I just, yeah.
There's like confirmation bias, I think. You know, we want to know.
Yeah.
We just, at least for me, that there's this, there are things that I do always for a little bit longer than I probably should, even when I'm trusting my gut, because I just want to know. And I think we live in a world where there's so much uncertainty that having that confirmation that this is what you want, because when you make the change, depending on what, and I hate to use the word consequences because it's not always consequences, but whatever comes from that change, there could be a lot of pieces to it and a lot of people affected, not just yourself. So when it comes 100%. To those, yeah. And I think for you and I mean, we care about a lot of the people that are around us, but we also have learned that we also kind of have to put ourselves first and do what's best for us. And I think with you realizing where you're, when it's time to move on, or even if it takes a little bit longer, or you want to be sure, because there's a lot. I mean, you've gone through so many different past lives.
We've I was gonna say people. I was like, God, Spencer.
You know, yeah, I know you've gone through so many different parts of your own life that I think with the fact that you can tell with yourself, even if you stay in a little bit longer than you need to, or want to, or feel like you should. The fact that you know, or you could listen to your body when it's time to move on, there are so many people out there who can't or don't realize it or get stuck in that loop. And I think that goes to show for you and I of how used to change we are, because I say the same thing. It's like I know when I'm in a situation for too long or it's time to get out because of how my mind is starting to react, whether it's dialing it in or feeling trapped or just not feeling myself anymore, or even just moving to burnout, which was what I learned in that whole situation was burnout for me, because I'm always so in everything I do.
Yeah.
If I'm getting to a point where I'm burnt out because I'm not getting the rest, it's not even getting rest. It's just the reward from what I'm doing because I love doing it keeps me away from burnout. And if I'm getting to a point where I'm not in it anymore, and that's my autopilot is to just avoid burnout. But I've had to go through it enough times to realize that that's like time to make a change.
Oh,
and that's a change that we decide to make. Sometimes we're in situations where changes are out of
made
control.
For us. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Before we get into those kind of changes and different ones, let's get into today's cooking side of Cooking Way Through Life. Today we are going to go over some soup, as I mentioned earlier, and I thought this would be a cool time to break out just a base soup recipe, I like to call it a seasonal base, and then just giving you ideas for spring, summer, winter, and fall, and then kind of conceptualizing a way that you can make these into your own soups depending on where you live, what you like, and so on and so forth. So the base itself works for every season, so you always want to just start with a base, and the ingredients for this are very, very minimal because you want to be able to, like I say, make this your starting point and then go from there. So you need a fat, of course, and I would say olive oil or butter depending on where you are around the world. this is going to really determine like what your base is going to be. And we always want to start with some aromatics. And I mention this so much. If you're taking any of my cooking classes, then you know they always say things are things until they become the things they're supposed to be. So in terms of aromatics, they're just random vegetables and other things until we actually cook them to make them aromatics. It's crazy because Spencer's here, and I remember to this day, I can text Hannah, and when you're making chili, Spencer always says that the chili needs to, chili isn't chili until it looks like chili. And when he said it, it was the funniest thing. We still laugh about it to this day, but it's so true when you just break it down, because you need for the chili to look like chili, guys.
No, in the beginning, it sort of looks loose and watery, and then as it starts to cook down, it looks like chili.
Yes, and that's how it is with aromatics. They're just things until you actually cook them down. They release their actual aroma and all the smells and everything, and now they're aromatic. So we're using onions, garlic, fresh garlic, celery, carrots, and that's going to be our base. I just feel like they're this great great base vegetables that most of us around the world can get. And the thing is that we want to cook down the onions and the celery and the carrots, and you want to sweat them out. So the goal here is to add them to your fat, so olive oil or your butter. Add a little salt. The salt here is going to draw the moisture out. When we say you want to cook them to translucent or softening, remember that we want to cook them for a longer period of time without caramelizing. So the salt's going to draw the moisture out. More moisture in your pot or your pan is going to give you a longer cook time without caramelization, because caramelization does not like moisture, which is why we pat our steaks dry before we put them on the grill. So we get that going in. Once those items start to sweat down, your onions become translucent, your carrots and your celery are a little softer, you start to smell them, now they are aromatics. And now we can pop in some of the grated or minced garlic that's fresh. And that only takes about 20 to 30 seconds, because as soon as you smell that garlic, it's also in there. When you smell these things, you can taste them later. And we want to cool this down or start this cooking process a little bit more with some broth. And this is where options come in as well. So if you know that you're going to make these soups and you want to go the vegetarian or vegan route, vegan route if you're going automatically oil, of course, but you're going to go the vegetarian or non-protein meat route, you want to use vegetable broth. But if you don't want to go that route, I recommend chicken broth, because chicken broth, unlike beef broth or pork broth or seafood, any of those, is going to be really good that you can use for all four seasons, no matter what protein you put in, and it's not going to overpower the dish. So I would say chicken broth if you want to put meat in later, or vegetable broth if you want to keep it meatless. Now, last but not least, you're going to bring it to a simmer. Have that going for a while. And now we need to just add in one thing to make it a little bit more on the texture side. So say we're going to thicken the soup. Without thickening your soups, a lot of times you're just having broth. So nothing changes. You just have vegetables floating around in a broth.
You need to make sure this chili looks like chili.
Basically, because it is just going to be the same thing going in. Perfect. I like this part because it's also optional, guys. You know, I love options. So one thing that a lot of people do is a starch base, and that's just cornstarch and water for a slurry. But you also can use potatoes, rice, or barley. And those three are really nice as an alternative to starch, because when you use starch, sometimes you're also getting rid of some of that flavor. And I don't personally like using starch because I like cooking my soup and warming it up later. I'm one person, so I might have that soup for a longer period of time. And if you use starch, the more you warm it up, the thicker it gets and kind of like off-putting. Your chili becomes extra clumpy chili. So you don't want that to happen either. So my base.
I don't think I've ever made extra clumpy chili. I'm just
You don't gonna... want to. See, you don't want to. No extra starch in there. My personal choice would be potatoes or rice. I think Spencer might like barley because, you know, you love quinoa and those kind of things. So, I feel like barley's
actually really funny that you brought that up, because the fact that, I mean, looking at the choices to pick from for today between change, I also saw the section of what we were making first. And I was like, soup. I love soup. This is great. And What actually got me started in my culinary interests was making soups at home in high school. Mm. And when I started making a lot, I actually started with barley soup.
Oh, my God. It was like, I knew it.
And you did. You know, maybe it's my background. We would always go to Ben's deli growing up, or having mushroom barley soup was just always the favorite. And we always had barley in the house, but mom and dad never really cooked any with it, but we always had it. So I was like, I'm going to make some mushroom barley soup. And then that changed. What actually got me, what I loved about making soups was that they were so versatile, and you can change them like for the seasons, or especially as a young chef, being interested in flavors and trying new things. I would look in my catering chef used to call it shopping the cooler. I would look in the refrigerator, see what we had, because I didn't plan on making soup that day. I just woke up and go, oh, I guess I'll make some barley soup. And I would add different flavors and see what that would do. And some I liked better than others, but just the whole like creativity of trying something different, soup base pretty much. And it was the barley route. Was it. A great handle to try different flavors. So yeah, you know me too well, Drake.
Something told me. So Spencer would definitely do barley in this case. The last two things you want to do is see your salt and pepper to taste. Once your either barley's cooked through, rice is cooked through, potatoes are cooked through, or your starch is incorporated. And then the last and final step for your base is actually going to be your herbs. And this is actually the great kind of, for me, my divining rod or my way to go as far as what the season is, because I just look to what herbs are in season. And that is kind of like how I go about defining my soup. So put in whichever herbs are in season that time of year. If you do live somewhere where you can have herbs all year round, or like the Caribbean where you're going to have those certain herbs that are there all the time, that's perfectly fine. But this is when you want to use that thyme, that rosemary, whatever herb you like. I also like to add in a combination of herbs sometimes. So say you like some mint, but you don't want it to be fully mint based. You can add some mint and some parsley there. And those two things go together great. So all of these items go together. You're going to bring this to a simmer, get it cooked down. This is going to be your base. And we are pretty much good to go. Like, the great thing about cooking your base is this will now go into your freezer after it becomes room temp, and then it cools down and we put it in the freezer, and then you can bring this out and make and finalize your soup anytime you want, depending on the season. And we're going to talk about some, at least four, because we're going to talk about all four seasons, about what some suggestions to put in each one. But before we get into the rest of that, we'll jump back into today's topic on change. And
quick, Drake, I do want to, because I'm the barley expert now.
oh my God.
Barley is not
gluten free. Of course you are.
So if you're looking for a thickener, everything else you mentioned was pretty much gluten free. So if you, some of the things that people don't think about when it comes to barley is, you know, because it's barley. Why would, but it's actually very close.
That's true.
To,
yeah.
So, but it does.
Yeah, it is the only one out of those four that's not gluten free. That's true. And on the face of it, I would just think barley was gluten-free if I didn't know any better. So yeah, that is a good tip. Thank you. The audience will definitely enjoy that. Or what I would say. They would they're gonna be very happy. So jumping back into today's topic, we're talking about change here. As I always say, I don't know why. I don't really structure this way. I just feel like I just jump in the deep end, as I mentioned, and I kind of go a little lighter. But now I want to talk about what kind of change do you feel you're going through right now, like in this moment as Spencer?
Oh, so there's so many to choose from or to think about. And of course, being put on the spot, this is why I love your podcast and the questions that you have. It gets you to think. And I think I would hope for everyone who's listening, it's sort of, as I'm listening to other people talk about it, I'm always like, what about me? You know, how do I feel about this? And thinking about changes that I'm going through, it also kind of just gets you to take a moment and think about it. The biggest thing that actually came to mind, besides, you know, we could talk about career, we could talk personal, we could talk about love, whatever it might be. There's so much change around us. But I realized I'm going to be 35 next year or in a couple of months. And 35 has always been a big number for me. I don't know why. Ever since I was a kid, just 35 always seemed to be a number. And of course, once you get there, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm only 35. Like, I would have figured out, thought I had it all figured out by now, or, you know, all the different change. I never would have thought. I think when I turned 30, around that time where I changed my career, I even said, I never thought what my 30s would be like. I always thought about what my 20s would be like, or just kind of living one day at a time. But this turning 35 is sort of an internal milestone. I don't think it's going to change much in the way I necessarily go about things, because I do believe that age is just a number. I have friends who are over twice my age, traveling more than I am, doing the things that sometimes on the sidelines people look at us and go, oh, you can do it because you're young. You know, my friend who just turned 70 just was in Asia for 3 months on foot. Like, nice. Really amazing stuff. So I know I did have a goal to hit 100 countries and territories by the time I was 35. I think it may happen while I'm 35 or maybe 36, but I'm in no rush. But it has made me think about what coming to this age means, or again, that step back to realize that we still have the world at our fingertips, no matter what age we're at. And I decided to change my whole career at 30. So I still feel like a little baby, because things are still so new. And then that, when I put that as my answer and had to think about what that meant, because now when we go into all the other things that are changing around me, the career is probably the biggest thing, of course, because I've been working really, really hard to kind of get myself up to speed as to where I felt I wanted to be, not where I needed to be, but I wanted to have some certain credentials. I wanted to have my captain's license. I wanted to have my my able-bodied seaman endorsement. I ended up just getting a radar endorsement, which I didn't expect, and that's sort of leading into this whole change. On the career side of things, I'm now at a place where when I decided to move into the deck department, my first season, I really didn't know what I wanted, if I liked it. I mean, I knew I was good at it and I had fun doing it, but I kind of took the time to reevaluate myself and my life and what was going on. And as an unlicensed deckhand, it's like being an ordinary seaman or an OS, where you're doing all the cleaning. You're not able to drive any of the boats with guests on it because you don't have your license. And at least with uncrews, everything's U.S. Coast Guard inspected. So you're starting from the ground up. Now, and when I realized that I wanted to stick with the deck department, I realized I wanted to be a bosun. And for uncrews, the bosun is sort of like a small boat mechanic or engine. It's like you're the engineer of the small boat. So you're always working on the oil changes, and if an ignition switch blows, or, you know, or whatever you may need to do for the engines, as well as the inflatable boats. And you work, you're sort of in charge of the boat deck. So you're doing all the crane ops and a lot of the driving through that time. So that was sort of my goal. And I reached it this year as doing relief bosun and relief licensed deck, which was amazing. Throughout the season, or right in the beginning, sort of, our second mate, our relief second mate, ended up quitting or leaving. So we ended up needing someone to fill in. And of course, during the season, things get a bit crazy. And my captain had actually asked if I was interested, but I didn't have the radar certification that we needed to be a mate. But in the way that it all worked, Cap said, look, you've proven to me that you can do the job, or that at least you would ask for help if you needed it. We need someone in a pinch. Here's what I'm going to pitch. And the company figured out something to make it all work without me doing that, because they still needed a bosun. So I still had to do my role anyway. And in my time off, I ended up getting that radar certification. Now, I had no interest in doing bridge work when I first started as a deckhand. It was just probably the least interesting part of my role. But as I started taking classes and I started learning about it, I went, this is cool, or this is interesting. Now that I've done the radar, I actually can think about driving as a mate. Like, what are they thinking about? They see this light, they look at the chart, they, you know, we're going through the water. Okay, I see it also with my eyes. There's all these things that they're thinking about, which I didn't realize, or I just didn't understand because I didn't have the knowledge, I didn't have the training. So this has been a really unexpected turn that I'm actually interested in this. But I don't want to be in the bridge full time because I miss the hands-on. You know, it's the same thing in being in the galley, where I love being outside. I love being on the front lines, but I like to keep myself in it. I want to keep on going being able to drive the boats, working with the engines. I'm not done as a bosun. But this second mate option has definitely led me to some questions. And where I'm merging this together now is that second mate is where sort of management starts. Bosun is as well. You're sort of like lead deckhand, but more management starts to come into the mate world of things. And this is sort of the first time that I've realized that I'm now changing back into a management role since I've left the galley, or at least my past life as a chef. And that is a bit terrifying. Thinking about for the last couple of years, I've just been able to kind of hang low, do my thing, do it well, you know, say yes and okay when I've been asked by someone above me. And now we're getting to the field again where you may ask for something and someone's going to tell you no. And sometimes you just need to get it done. So now that I'm also hitting this age at 35 where I've changed my whole career and there's, I don't know, it just feels like a milestone to me, which I'm really excited about, but it's bringing me back into this world of management again. And again, we talk about resistance and all the things that go through that. It's interesting to see where this now new career path has come full circle, and the change becomes a bit more exponential once you have to start managing people again.
Yeah. Well, nice. I mean, that's a big change. And 35 is a big age. I mean, I'm already past 35, but, you know. But definitely a big age and a milestone. I would say your change right now is a little different from mine that I feel like I'm in right now. I think my biggest change right now that I'm really feeling or going through would be a change of, I don't know, I kind of have a suspicion, but I have this, I feel like I have a lot more, I'm more confident lately about trying and doing things that I've been like holding off. And I think my biggest change right now is that I'm in a space of why not? Or like I'm in a space of like, let's just try it, like 100% going towards it. I mean, a part of it is because I am financially capable to do that now with my new role, and my new job gives me the ability to step out on faith a little bit more with the financial backing. But yeah, just I'm in a really nice headspace, like not in my head as much, and just like doing it, and which is a big change for me because usually, as much as I do try random stuff and do stuff, as we were talking about earlier, I would suppress a lot of it just because I'd be in my head so long. By the time I make a decision, I'm like, I don't want to do it anymore. So right now I'm in this space of like, no, like you can do it. And if you don't, it's not the end of the world. And my boss now that I work with at my new company, she was saying the other day, she was like, because I'm a culinary instructor, she was like, we teach culinary classes. We're teaching people to cook. You're not doing brain surgery. If you're sick or if something happens, like, don't worry about it. And it was so funny coming from her because she used to be a doctor. So I'm just like, if anybody understands it, it's her. So yeah, I think I'm in that space right now. That's the biggest change that I am, or the change field that I'm going through right now. I would say in terms of, because I feel like I kind of know this just from our conversation today and knowing you, but when it comes to change and the whole world of like, well, our personal worlds, how it's been constructing us to the people that we are today, is there one piece of change that you kind of resisted, but now you're grateful for that sticks out to you?
Yeah, I would say it was kind of actually, it was kind of a little bit of both. Like, I was happy being a deckhand. I was happy being, you know, I'm happy being bosun. I'm happy being in these roles where I don't have to make a lot of the big decisions. And I definitely was resisting the second mate job for a long time. Like I sort of mentioned earlier, when I first learned about navigational watch, I was like, I've got to sit here all night, every hour, every other hour, looking for red and green lights. Like, it's especially if your chief mate is from somewhere like Louisiana, or this year my chief mate was from Long Island. Actually, widely three three towns down from me. But wow. For most of her life, she was chasing the sun. One of those, you know, people who are always cold. And I go to Alaska because I'm always hot. So when the bridge is really hot and it's dark and you're looking for lights, I can remember coming to the end of my shift going, this is miserable. Like, I love the rest of this job except for this part. And it's been amazing to now have an appreciation for it and actually enjoy it. And it actually has become really fun. But that was the biggest thing I definitely resisted. I used to actually tell, even this season, before all this, life really sort of put me in this situation to start saying yes rather than no. As we talked, sometimes life just out of your control, you know, stepping up to when Captain called me into the bridge and said, hey, this is what I want because I'm not happy with the other choices we have. Can you do it? My only answer was yes. There wasn't a second guess in my mind. Although, of course, I was like, man, I really didn't want this to happen this soon. and when I would start driving the big boat, I would look at the chief or the second mate or captain. I go, I'm not supposed to like this. So I was really resistant the last couple of years about the idea of actually continuing to be in the bridge, on that kind of front, because it just, I know there's a lot involved. There's a big taking the step. Confidence was a big thing. I think now, and I think why I brought up the whole age situation was now I've been doing this for about 5 years and my confidence level, like you said, for yourself is very different, financially, very similar, all those kind of things. I'm at this spot now where a lot of the work that I've put into the career is paying off. And the cool thing is that you could spend your whole time as an AB or someone who doesn't go to the bridge, but now it's starting to tickle me a little bit differently than it originally was. I was very resistant to it in the beginning. And sometimes you just got to say, okay. And that's the, I think the easiest thing to get through resistance in other situations that you want to is just saying yes, doing it, trying it out. Yeah. You know, that whole test the water thing. If it wasn't for actually Captain Shayna, who we've both worked with, she's great. And it was really one of those moments where I never asked to drive the big boat. I never really had any interest. I sort of understood what was going on. And we were in Endicott Arm driving to Dawes Glacier. And there's all these pieces of ice around. And she just turns to me and she goes, want to drive through ice? And I was sort of in that situation where I wasn't going to say no, but also I thought it would be really cool. You know, why not? You know, we're here. It's a beautiful day. Let's give it a try. And who would have ever thought that sort of slowly sparked the love for driving around. And then this year I drove right next to Gloomy Knob where we see all the goats and like I had to be 600 feet off of it or maybe even more. I think I was at but like with how close I was, now I'm not dodging ice anymore. Now I'm making sure that I stay on the right track and give the guests a great experience, but still staying close enough so we could see what's on there, but far away enough to where there's no issues. And like all of those things that now I'm at a point where I can say yes. And it was all just from as resistant as I was. Here we are.
Just needed that one little push. And side note, before I get into mine, I want to say Shayna is also, I mean, I don't drive big boats, but Shayna is the reason why I started driving the skiffs and stuff, because she was the first person to teach me how to do that. And I really appreciate Shayna for that. So, I think that might be my fourth act when I'm like 60 driving skiffs for people.
You could do it, Dre. You never know.
My resistance that I'm grateful for now is a little earlier than that, though, because mine actually is one of the reasons why me and you met. I was leaving Key West and a very, very horrible time in my life. And I got the job in Colorado, moved cross country, started working for the Broncos. And I was just going to do that. And then at the same time, I got the job for America's Test Kitchen. And I was so resistant to it, first off, which I've said this plenty of times, like, because I thought it was a scam. So I was very resistant. Like, that was my first instinct to be resistant because they reached out to me. I did not know who they were, and I just ignored it.
Undercover about it.
Yeah, like it was just, I was very resistant because I was cautious at first.
Yeah.
But then when I did figure out what it was, I was also super resistant because it was nothing. It was still to do with food, but it was in a different direction. And it was just like less of an actual chef position and more like a hosting slash kind of, you know, I was like, I don't know, like scripts and stage. And like, I was very resistant for it, but I would say I'm so grateful for it now because I reference them so much. Shout out to Kirstie. Shout out to, Kirstie. And everybody else over there that Dan and Kirstie still keep in touch with, for real. But no, I do reference them so much because I think America's Test Kitchen, that job itself, but the way they work, I'm a very like observant person. Like I work at catering companies. I structure my personal chef business that way because I'm like, if it works, I'm a no reinventing the wheel kind of person. So if you show me something that works and I can adapt it, like I'm that person. I was just like, I really like the way they structure so much stuff and how they approach things. Yeah, I'm just so grateful for it now because I feel like I don't think I would have a podcast, a YouTube channel. I don't think I'd be doing any of this side of the culinary world if I didn't do that. And I was so resistant to it to the point where I almost didn't take the job. And I'd probably still be in Colorado right now working for the Broncos. So, you know, it wouldn't be super bad, but
I think one of the amazing things with, and I don't know if you felt this before Ships, or at least I know you were on Ships way before America's Test Kitchen, but at least especially with that being such a new program, I remember my interview, they said, we need you to be flexible. And the only thing that has really, if there's anything that I've said that has come out of Ships, it has been learning to adapt. And I feel like if we use the word adaptation, rather, I feel like change has such a negative connotation to it now. In the world where people just with resisting change, you know, like when you think about embracing change, people have to be like, do I embrace change? But I feel like when we use the word adapt, it's really kind of the same because we're adapting to change all the time. But if we, so I think what America's Test Kitchen did for me was really learning how much in the culinary world and in the world in general, especially with Ships, we have to adapt to what may be different. And with what you got out of that, with how now you go about doing some things. And if you say, if it's not fixed, don't break it. Or if it's not broken, don't fix it. It's been awesome seeing you adapt through your different career jobs and your own business where you pick little pieces up and you go, oh, I like that. And then you go, that was okay.
Yeah.
And that adapting, I think, also makes it easier to get through change because we're always adapting to our surroundings or what we're given. And it's been really amazing to see what you've built over the years since then, because of also the experiences you've had.
Yeah. Lots of experiences, which you actually bringing up adapt is a great word to launch us back into the soup world. So I like that. We're going to adapt these four recipes to our soup base we already created. In your mind, guys, you already created that soup base on one of your Sunday afternoons that you have free time. It's in your freezer. Now it's time to bring it out, warm it back up, bring it up to temp, and create the soup that you want depending on the season that you're in or even out of season. You can eat these soups anytime, but we're gonna start with spring because me and Spencer are both spring babies, and spring is my favorite season of the year. And this is the renewal soup because, you know, spring is that time where growth happens, you know, quietly, but growth is happening in spring. Everything's coming out. So for this soup, I recommend asparagus, peas, baby spinach, leeks, the greens. You want a green soup. You also want to use some acid, so some lemon here. And you know my rule, if you're putting in fresh lemon juice or fresh lime juice, zest it first, squeeze it second. So lemon zest, lemon juice. And then for this one, because it has so many greens in it and such like the renewal side of soup, you can add protein to it. And I would actually add in like rotisserie chicken. So for my especially American listeners, You love a Costco chicken. This is the perfect time to use that extra Costco chicken, rotisserie chicken, or leftover. This is also the great time to use whatever you have left from Sunday dinner or cooking out on the grill. So that shredded chicken, shred up your chicken, or white beans. If you don't want to use chicken, this is a great time to use white beans, cannoli beans. It's going to be a really hearty protein for you, which gives this still light, bright, and renewal kind of feel. So that's going to be your spring soup option. Moving along into summer, where this will be your abundant soup, because summer is the time where, it's fresh. Summer teaches us to live in the moment. Most of the time, if you have a hot summer, at least. And this way, we can get a little more spicy with things. So we're going to be vibrant and colorful and energetic. So we want zucchini, corn, cherry tomatoes, bell peppers, jalapeno peppers, if you like a little spiciness there. Also, no matter what mint or herb you put in earlier, add some basil here, because the basil is going to really brighten up. Even if it pairs with tarragon, if it pairs with your mint, if it's by itself, it's going to really come through. So the basil there is going to be really nice. And in this one, I actually would go a different route in terms of your protein, and I would put in shrimp. So this is a nice one to add in seafood. So shrimp or scallops, any of those things. And if you don't want to do the protein on this side, then you also can do tofu this time. So you have a little bit of texture inside of there. That's going to be your summer kind of abundant soup there. Last two, the fall, or also known as autumn, sometimes around the world. This is like your grounding soup. It's actually my second favorite season. I don't know. What's your favorite season, Spencer? Because mine is spring, then autumn.
Spring and fall.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So, and what I love about both sides is like when it's changing, and in the spring you have that like cold air that's all of a sudden now like, or it's cold but the warm air is coming in, and the opposite in the fall where it's cold, where it's warm but the cool breeze is like that, just the colors, the temperature, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's also a great time for soup.
It is. It's a great time for soup. And I feel like fall reminds me to slow down. Like, it's kind of like savor the moment kind of thing. Like, like you're saying, with that breeze coming in, it's like, I bring my hoodies out. I can eat soup, drink wine, kind of woosaw a little bit. And in this one, we're going to keep it with the theme. It's like the grounding soup. So you want to think warm, comforting, earthy. And this is like a great time to use butternut squash, sweet potatoes, kale, which is one of Spencer's favorite. You also can use sage. So we talked about basil for the summertime, but sage is a great herb for the fall or the autumn, because it automatically gives you those like autumn vibes, and it just like lends itself to you. This one is one that you can use, another one of your favorite, Spencer, lentils, if you don't want to use any style of protein there. But this is also,
we talk about beets next.
Just lentils for now for this one. If you want to use meat for this one, though, I would actually go a little bit different. So you can actually go, since you have things like butternut squash or sweet potatoes and kale, they are very strong flavors. You can use things like andouille sausage here. You can use things like duck or lamb. You can really go outside of the box, Italian sausage, for instance. You can really step it up with this one, because you have so many flavors that can kind of ground it in that grounding soup. Last but not least, winter, which is what people think about soup the most because it's cold outside. And this is kind of the resilience soup. So this one is like when life gets cold, you kind of, your strength comes from the soup at this point. So it's just that warm feeling. And I would say this one's kind of hearty, think soothing, sustaining. So a little bit more hearty, as I was saying. This is going to be root vegetables. So Spencer's right on the money. So you can use things like beets or carrots, parsnips, turnips. Also, you can add in things like cabbage here. Cabbage is great in soups. It actually gives it like some texture. It doesn't lose its texture a lot. And as far as, if I would say one particular herb, rosemary is great for the winter. The smell of rosemary can really shine through in the coldest of climates, and it just gives you that kind of warming feel. And I would say for this one, because we are going more hearty, this is a great one for beef. So shredded beef in here, leftover steak from the grill, any of that kind of just really big hearty beef beef and beets there. Or also, if you don't want to use protein, then you can use barley. So barley is a great one to add in here because it also is going to give you that very warm and hearty feel. But they're your beets. They were coming, so don't you worry. One last thing before we get out of the soup thing, soup world, is that you also can do a couple of the options, guys. I would say swapping out your broth for coconut milk is a great way to add a little texture. I know for my Caribbean listeners out there, that's like one thing you can really do to add that texture to it. So the coconut milk will help. Also, freezing your base portions and then re-season them later once you add your soup. So, you know, you bring your base up, adding your beets for Spencer here, your barley and everything. Remember to re-season because everything you add in is going to take away some of that season. And then garnishes. I know that we're in this Instagram world and this like picture world. Your garnishes, just garnish smartly, especially when it comes to soup. You have so many flavors going on. Don't try to make this Instagram picture that's going to make your soup taste horrible or take away from your soup, people. Just think about what's in the soup. Most of the time, when in doubt, use things that's already in your item. And that way, the garnish is edible and it will not take away from the flavors inside your soup. So that would be the last little bit there. Now, before we get out of here. Edible garnish, yes. I hate taking off a garnish. Like, taking off a garnish is so much extra time. Like, no. But edible garnishes, guys. Before we get out of here, Spencer, is there anything you want to leave the people with in terms of change? Like, if you had to say one thing about change that will change the way people think, what would it be?
Like that. Yeah, say yes. Give it a try. The worst that can happen... You know, I think the biggest thing that Drake and I have talked about here is getting out of our own heads. I think the biggest thing where resistance comes, and it reminds me back one of the other many times that I could have thought about resistance or change was during COVID. I was the head brewer at a kombucha company. And that's actually probably around the time that Drake and I became the friends that we are, is the long voice notes that I would just leave the brewery just being like, what's going on? And I stayed in it too long. I knew I did. I had to. I felt I had to, at least. And that's, I think, the biggest thing. Again, being us being in our own head. I think when we're resistant to changes like that, especially when it comes to career, relationships, we feel like we shouldn't change, or we feel that we need to stay for various different reasons. And it was a global pandemic. I at least had a job. I was making some sort of money. And I probably should have left at least a month or two earlier, if not earlier than that. And I remember talking to my parents about it and sitting in the living room, going through how I was feeling, what I was thinking. And there was this strange worry that I had that I don't even know where it came from. Maybe it was the era of the times or the own change that my mind goes through. But I was really worried about what was next, or like, because I was probably still already in that phase of knowing that food wasn't it anymore. But again, those little red flags are those things that you may have to question. But my dad said, if there's anything I've learned about you, Spencer, it's that you'll figure it out. There'll always be a next day. It may, you could take a week off, you know, figure it out, but there will be something next, because I'm not somebody who's just going to sort of sit around for the next 6 months and say that I'm done. If anything, people tell me I should take a break a little bit more. and that's one of those things, I think, we're always scared to make the change because the uncertainty of the future is unknown. And when it comes to trusting yourself that you're going to make it or that you'll be able to do it, you said it to me, Drake, when I moved from the galley to being a deckhand. I was mopping the galley on the Safari Endeavor, and you just said, you did it. You took it and you ran with it. And I didn't know half of what I was fully getting into. I just knew I needed a safe place to be to figure it out. And
yeah,
mopping the galley at 2 o'clock in the morning was doing that. I didn't even realize it because I was so used to, I mean, this is not the first time I've decided to up and leave either a career choice or a place of living or life or person, whatever it might be. But each, as we said, each time, it's not like it gets any easier. You're still inside your own head. You're doing the things. So the biggest thing that I would say is give it a try. You know, have faith in yourself that the change can be positive, yeah. And it's always going to come with its challenges. But I watched a video the other day, and it was something about along the lines of just do it, or like not having the option of not doing it or trying it out or seeing what happens, because you can always move forward. I had no idea what my 30s were going to be like, and it terrified me. It was so weird because no one could tell the future.
No.
But if you just live it one day at a time and you just do it, just try it. I think all the things that we sort of in our own mind that either the self-sabotage or the imposter syndrome or the things that stop us from moving forward, if you just put yourself in a situation where there's no alternative and you just go for it,
yeah,
we figure it out. It's kind of like the universe has got your back.
I agree. I think the biggest misconception about a lot of people that quote unquote are good with change, like people that see us and especially being working on ships, you know, it's just like constantly changing and constantly moving. But like, I try to tell people all the time, I am winging it, guys. Like mm-hmm. Chris said, like you do not know the future. I am winging it out here. If anything, I'm just constantly trying, because one thing I always remember is not making a decision is a decision. And so I'd rather decide to try something and just do it in terms of something I want to do than to be forced into the decision by not making one.
And the reason why I like Eat Strike is because my parents were very open with all the different, and probably why I became a chef was my parents were always very open with the different types of food that they introduced my sister and I at dinner. And, you know, even my sister called everything chicken. My parents made everything and they just called it chicken. So she ate it. And I used to, when I was at the environmental education summer camp, I used to actually use what my parents told me growing up, because I was cooking for the kids and I wanted to make as healthy food as I could. And that doesn't mean that I didn't make mac and cheese and baked ziti and like lots of cheese and bread and all the things that still taste great. But I still wanted to influence. Of course, the quinoa came out, the barley, the beets, the, you know, the kale. You got to make it fun and involve yourself. So I would have this meeting in the beginning, and I told all the kids, I would say, there's going to be things here that you may never have tried before. It's different, you know, especially if we're associating change in food and trying new stuff. It was wild when I got into culinary school and I met people who never had an apple before, because that sounds like a pretty common fruit. But there are people who have never eaten a beet because they thought they wouldn't like it. Yeah. And what my parents did to me and my sister was they said, try it. If you don't like it, you don't have to eat it. But you don't know until you try it. And I've sort of used that to life experience. And you could always say no. Like, that's the biggest thing, is you can always, and we know sometimes saying no is hard. But when you realize that it may not be the situation for you, you can back out. There's still, even though it may come with its own little turmoil and sadness and grief and what change does, what change sparks, because there's both sides of the energy of there. But the fact that you tried, because there's so many people who don't, I think the fact that you tried is really where to focus. You know, you may not like beets, but at least you tried them.
Fair. And I do like beets, by the way, just to say. All right, Spencer, thank you so much for joining us today. Before we get out of here, let the people know how to find you if they want to follow you on social media, maybe come sail with you on one of your ships coming up.
So I'm on Instagram at The Schmurz, is where you can find me the most. I'm also on Facebook under Spencer Jason, probably the easiest way to find me, because my last name is Schmurzler, which is a little bit harder to learn how to spell. So, Instagram is at The Schmurz. You can definitely find me through Chef Hollywood stuff. Thank you so much for having me here. At the moment, I'm working for Uncruise Adventures. If you're looking for a real awesome, fun way to experience Alaska, Drake and I have done it on both small and big ships. Doesn't matter how you experience Alaska. Alaska is pretty incredible. But there's something about being 0.25 miles off a glacier that just changes your world. And my parents finally came this year. It took them 5 years. And now they understand it. My mom, by the end of every day, my mom was in tears because the landscape is just so incredible. So those are probably the easiest ways to find me right now, but I'm up and about and around, and we'll have to see when I make a change and where I'm going to be next.
Perfect.
But thank you, Drake. And thank you, everyone, for also who's listening as well. It's been really awesome to be back talking with you and just talking about life. It's a wonderful life out there, all sides of it. And when it changes, just embrace it.
True. Well, I appreciate you. I appreciate all of you guys listening, of course. But in real life, Spencer is one of my best friends. So it's always great to not only talk to him in general, but you guys to hear like some of the things we talk about in general anyway. So you just peek behind the curtain of what we some of our 10-minute voice notes to each other throughout the day.
At least guys. It's not in slow motion anymore.
True. Yeah, those Chewbacca messages that would happen.
Yeah.
But thank you guys. You
again, Drake. And it's one of those things. I know we've talked about a lot of positives here, and I will always appreciate that you've been there to help me through the change. And I know your podcasts have definitely, like you said, lifting the veil of what our conversations are like. But I think the cool thing about what you're doing here is even in the fact that we may leave 10, 20-minute voice notes, your direct questions and the way that things talk about, I think every time we do this, we learn something new about each other.
Oh, 100%. I love it. Yeah, 100%. Well, as always, guys, thank you for listening. We appreciate you more than you know. Thank you for being listeners here. Thank you for supporting the new YouTube channel, Cooking Your Way Through Life. Thanks for buying the cookbook on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And also the theme song that's on iTunes and things. So, yeah, I appreciate everything. So we'll see you again next week. Don't forget that new episodes drop every Thursday. New episodes of the YouTube channel drops on Mondays. Other surprises drop throughout the week. And have a good day.
Thank you for listening to Cooking Your Way Through Life with Chef Hollywood.